Andrew Murray said this. He says, we had long known the Lord without realizing that meekness, and listen carefully, and lowliness of heart should be the distinguishing feature of the disciple. Boy, I said, Andrew Murray, that's exactly right.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you with us today. Pastor Bill's study today is part two of the second message from a series titled Essentials of the Heart. The message today is from Matthew chapter 11. Now, let's join Pastor.
You see, if we possess the heart of Christ, amen? Okay, now listen, we do. He lives in us. We have his heart in us. And not only that, listen now, if we possess his lowly heart, then here's something that should happen to us. Whenever unbelief arises in our hearts and doubt, it should make us weep. It should make us weep. And let me tell you why. Whenever Lazarus died and Mary came up to him, you know, came back and he said, oh, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. And oh, Mary, where have you put him? You know, where have you laid him? Oh, he's over here. Oh, he's been in there. Don't roll away. The stone is too much. Don't. And everybody's groaning and the Jews are weeping and say, oh, could this man that raised the dead could and open the eyes of the blind, could he not save this man from dying? It goes on. And then Jesus says he groaned in his spirit. And then John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Was it because the Jews were crying? No. Here's what the problem was. Everybody in the camp, everybody that was there, they did not believe his ability. Unbelief in his ability caused Jesus to weep. In John 11:40, he told Mary, he says, Mary, did I not tell you if you would just only believe that you would see the glory of God? Listen, if we possess his heart, if we've truly taken his yoke, do you follow me? Then our heart, we should say, oh God, you know what? This is not right. Am I not believing you? Am I not trusting you for my situation, whatever I'm facing in my life? You see, listen, we possess a heart that has never once been darkened by unbelief. Amen? No. Do you see that tonight? We possess a heart, the heart of Christ living in us that has never, ever doubted, that has never, ever had an ounce of disbelief about the things of God. It's never, never, ever has happened. When Jesus was walking out there among the people in the villages and he was healing in Matthew chapter 9, when he healed all of the sick and everybody, I mean, everyone in the whole area, he healed everyone in the cities and the villages and so forth of every sickness and of every disease. And you would think that would be incredible. But it says, the next verse says, but when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Where? When you're moved with compassion, where is it? In your heart. He was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were lonely, because they were scattered, because they were weary, they were beaten down, even though all of them had been healed. They were like sheep having no shepherd. Here, listen to me. You know what? Here's one of the greatest problems. We possess the heart of Christ. And everywhere there would be not one person. Listen, Jesus would look at them. And do you think Jesus would hate them? No. Jesus died for all of us, didn't he? In other words, if we don't allow the heart of Christ, if we don't see through the heart of Christ, we will never see the multitudes. You know, never will we see them like our Lord. We'll never look on one another and we'll never look on the people down the street or the people that are wounded, the people are hurting. What did Jesus do after he saw this multitude? He said he sent his disciples into his harvest. We're his disciples. We're his laborers. Amen. If we don't allow Jesus' heart to, we just sang a song, you know, ruler of my heart, is he? And when we were singing that, I said, are you the ruler of my heart, Lord? How much of my heart are you not ruling? And I said, we sing that and it sounds so good. I'm not beating us tonight. I love you, man. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you as a brother in Christ. I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know, Lord, I tell you, I want to be able to feel His heart in my heart. I want to be able to feel His compassion for others. And there's only one way to do that. It is to take His yoke, and that His yoke is the heart of Christ. It is the lowly, humble heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, take it. Take my heart. In it you'll find life. In it you'll find protection. In it you'll find perfect wisdom. Amen? It's His heart. And when His heart is really becomes our heart, then all of a sudden we have all this compassion. Listen, that's why Jesus said, you have to learn from me. And the only way we can learn from Him is to take His yoke. In other words, where we start learning heart lessons, where we become a student of the heart of Jesus Christ. Think about the heart of Jesus just for a moment. His heart is so incredible. Listen, His heart is a heart that left heaven. Would you have left heaven? I was thinking about that. I mean, He left heaven. God left heaven. He came down, and what? He became one of us. He became a man. The only difference was He had no sin in Him. He became the God-man. And not only that, He came down to this planet, and He would always be the God-man. Amen? He still is the God-man. And I look at that, and I say, oh, what a heart. I think about the heart of Jesus. You know, that's like that little girl, that little six-year-old girl. Thank God they found who did that. Jesus, His heart tasted death for every person. Amen? That word tasted means He experienced the full brunt of what death really is, something that we will never, ever experience. I don't know that I could die for Him. Are you listening to me? For what that person did to that little girl. I mean, if somebody asked me, I'd have to say, I don't have that. It's just not there. Amen? Do you understand what I'm getting at? And I'm saying how falling short the church is. We're falling so short because we have His heart. We have His yoke if we'll take it. And I went, oh, Lord, You have a heart. Not only did You taste death for everyone, the heart that You have, You allowed Your own people, Your own creation to strip you and beat you and pluck your beard and rip open your back. And I'm thinking, what kind of heart is that? That's the heart that lives in us. That's the true yoke of Christ. It's His lowly heart that comes into our heart right now, that's there, where His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed the sons of God. And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, You mean you have a heart, Lord. Your heart gladly went to the cross. You paid the sin debt of the entire world, and You did it gladly. You did it of Your own volition, of Your own free will. Matter of fact, You have a heart that said, I have to get to the cross. You sweated great drops of blood there in the garden. And you know what? He just wanted to get to the cross. He didn't want to die in the flesh. He wanted to get to the cross and then die. I look at that and I say, now I don't understand. Now all of a sudden I have to rethink everything because I missed it. I thought it was always going and doing, and boy, I'm yoking up with You, Lord, and yes, I'm going to win the loss. Yes, we should do all those things, but you know what? If your heart's not right, what is it going to do? Do you understand? That's why so many people are so legalistic and why they beat other people down and so forth, because they don't have the right heart, man. They have a lot of religious zeal, but they don't have the knowledge of the Holy One in their heart. They're not letting that yoke possess them. And I look at that and I say, oh, what a heart. He died for the ungodly. I mean, scarcely a man would die for just a good man, but for the whole world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. That's us. A heart that said from the cross, after He had been so grievously slaughtered, what did He say? Listen to His heart. Listen to the heart of Christ. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, I'm going, that's what I want. I want to be yoked up to that heart. I want the heart of Christ living, breathing, thinking, directing everything I do. I want all that He is to direct the church and direct me. And I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, You have a heart. Remember what He said to us in John 14, 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let your heart be not troubled. Let it, your heart, not be afraid. Lord, I don't have to be afraid anymore, do I? No. You know why? I have Your heart. You're not afraid, are you, Jesus? No, Bill, I'm not afraid of anything. The only thing we need to be afraid of, church, is God. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm living there. I've given you my peace. I've given you everything that you need. It says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let him rule there. Let him rule there. Why? Because he lives there. It says in Mark 1:40, now a leper came to Jesus imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus moved with compassion. Where? In his heart. Moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him and said to him, I'm willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Listen carefully to me. We are the church. We are the only heart of Christ on this planet. That's it. It cannot be found in any other people except the church. Amen? We are the only heart of Christ to a lost and hurting and lonely and leprous, sin-filled world that's deceived. The question is, will we take his yoke? It's amazing. I'm lowly in heart. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. Take my yoke. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, it says, he who says he abides in Jesus ought himself to also walk just as he walked. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus walked this land, did he walk with a lowly heart? Yes. Do you see that? In other words, we need to walk just like he walked. How do we walk? Ephesians 5:1-2. Be ye imitators of him as dear children. Verse 2 in Ephesians 5. And walk in love. Wherever Jesus went with his lowly heart, he brought life and victory and healing to others. And here we go into this world, and it seems like it's so hard to change this world. You know what this world really needs? They need a church who says, I've taken the yoke of Christ, and that yoke is his heart. His heart now lives, it lives in me. Now listen to me. We possess his heart. Jesus lives in us. We possess right now in us a heart that is pure. Jesus' heart is pure. Jesus' heart is perfect righteousness. Jesus' heart is perfectly free from sin because that he has never sinned ever. And his love never changes. I grow weary in my life of the malicious, the hurtful, the way Christians hurt one another, always speaking evil against one another. Does that come from the heart of Christ? No, it comes out of our own heart, a heart that's not consumed with the heart of Christ, a heart that is selfish and self-centered and wants our own way, a heart that won't turn the other cheek, a heart that won't yield, a heart that won't serve, a heart that won't give. There's something wrong here. It says in 1 Peter 2:21, it says this, for this you were called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, a model, a pattern, an example that you should follow in his steps. That's the greatest need in the church. His yoke is his heart. That's the yoke he wants us, his church, to operate in, to live in, to dwell in, to abide in, to learn from. Andrew Murray said this. He says, we had long known the Lord without realizing that meekness, and listen carefully, and lowliness of heart should be the distinguishing feature of the disciple. Boy, I said, Andrew Murray, that's exactly right. Listen now, the condition of one's heart determines one's moral actions and attitudes of life, for the issues of life proceed out of the heart. And our fears that we have that are within us, and I have fears, I combat fears just like you do. And I say, oh Lord, but now I realize what your yoke is, that your yoke is your heart and you don't have any fear. There's a fear not in the Bible. There's a fear not for every day of the year. Amen. And I started thinking about our fears and our internal conflicts and our envy and our anger, our jealousy, all the issues of life. And here's what I've decided. I now understand that they will never subside. They will never start decreasing until the character of Christ lowly heart is starting to take our hearts over and awaken in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, of course, is transforming us without a doubt and conforming us into the very image of Christ. But here's how we are really transformed. I mean, yes, by the work of the Holy Spirit. But the moment if we will finally say to ourselves, here's the deal, Lord, I'm going to just take your yoke. I'm going to take your yoke. Now listen, and that is his heart. It is only as we follow him that we experience the beating heart of Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Bible tells, Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He said in Matthew's gospel, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The other gospel says, take up his cross daily. Romans 12 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord, a living sacrifice. And I said, oh Lord, the only way that we can really do that is to have your heart beating in our heart, where we sit and we say, oh God, this is what it's all about, that I'm going to take that yoke and that my decisions are based on the heart of Christ. My walk, everything I do, everything I think, not being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen? And I look and I say, oh Lord, I want to take your yoke. I want your heart. I want it now. Turn to Matthew. Oh, we were already in Matthew. Just turn just one page over and look at something with me at this parable of the sower, if you don't mind, in chapter 13. Let me just go through this for a moment. Look at verse 19, where he explains the parable. Jesus said in verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, Mark's gospel says he comes immediately, and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who receives seed. Remember, the seed is the word of God, the parable of the sower, who receives seed by the wayside. The wayside, the hardened path. In other words, the soil is speaking of the condition of one's heart here. In other words, this is the hard heart. God says, you know what my word is? It's like seed. If you just get it in there, it wants to sprout and bring forth life, and it wants to take a root in our hearts. But he who received the seed on stony places, that's that just a bunch of rocks, not a lot of dirt. So it's a shallow place, a shallow heart. But he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The emotional here. You get it in your head, but you don't get it into your heart. And you just say, oh man, that is so cool. And I've got it. You know, that God's word penetrated my mind, but it just didn't take root in my heart. And then all of a sudden problems come up for the word, you know, a persecution because of the word of God. And then they stumble. And he who receives seed, remember seed's the word of God, among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's the crowded heart, isn't it? You see, the devil stole from the shallow heart. The flesh took care of the hard heart. And then here, the world destroys the crowded heart. We're fighting right now against all of those things, aren't we? Come on. All of those things. But look at this last one now. But he who receives seed on the good ground, the good heart, okay? It says, is he who hears and the word, but look what happens next. He understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces hundredfold, and some 60, some 30. The fruitful heart, all heard, but this person understands. Surely the fruitful heart is the heart that takes the yoke of Christ. Amen? The yoke of Christ is his heart. Now listen, the life of Calvary Chapel depends on me, depends on you, for we are one body. Amen? We are the body of Christ. I think it would do well for us tonight, each of us, to ask ourselves a series of questions like, for example, what kind of local church would we be if everyone prayed like me, if everyone witnessed to the lost like me, if everyone served like me, if everyone gave to God like me, if everyone loved like me or studied their Bibles like me or forgave like me or supported missions like me, what kind of church would we be? I looked tonight and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I've never in all these years understood that until yesterday, that the yoke is the heart of Christ. And I said to myself, Lord, what percentage of your heart is beating at Calvary? What percentage among us? Lord, how many of us are really yoked up to you? How many of us? I mean, yes, Lord, we have your heart. You live in us. We possess all that you are. But are we yoked up? Have we really obeyed to take that yoke? And I said, Lord, are we going through the motions? Are we on life support? Have we flatlined? And I said, Lord, do we need a heart transplant? I think that tonight that we should all look into our hearts. I tell you, I want the yoke of Christ. You see, if it's available, how can I love anyone unless I can love them with Christ's love? How can I forgive anyone unless I can do it with Christ's heart? Amen? How can I serve God unless I serve Him with the heart of Christ? Because Bill's heart can't do it. Bill's heart won't do it. You see, yes, we're born from above, but there has to come that time in our life, I believe, when we say, you know what, Lord? Yes, here's His heart. And now I'm going to yoke up with your heart, Lord. Your heartbeat is my heartbeat. I want to be like John at the Last Supper when I put my head upon your breast and hear the heartbeat of Christ. I want to be in union and draw strength from and rely on and cling to the lowly heart of Christ that lives in me. That's what I desire. And I say, Lord, we come to you. You gave us an invitation. You said, come unto me. And you said, take my yoke. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, tonight, I don't know if I was able to even convey my heart. I know that I struggle to do so. But I know that in my struggling, you can take what I said and make it so clear to your people. I pray tonight that every pastor in this church, every elder in this church, every deacon in this church, every Sunday school kids church teacher, every youth pastor, every person who's a servant, every person, every department, every staff leader, that we submit to you tonight. That, Lord, we say we invite you to come. We want to take your yoke. We want your heart. That's the yoke. We want to have the lowly, gentle, loving heart of Jesus manifested in our lives, where we look at other people through the eyes of Christ, where we ache inside and groan inside and grieve inside as you would grieve, Jesus, that your weeping would become our weeping. Oh God, some way make that happen. We take that yoke. We just simply take it by faith and submit to the lordship of your lowly heart. Now flood this place, oh God, with your glory, with your presence. Help us. Help us, Lord.
Next time on Love Never Fails, we'll continue Pastor Bill's series, Essentials of the Heart. So please join us if you can. We appreciate the privilege of your time today. May the Lord bless you with an awesome weekend, and we'll look for you again on Monday. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.